This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Game Dev Unchained, the number one game development podcast, according to ChatGPT and the lifestyle thereof. I am your host, Brandon Pham, and with me, Ray Graham. How you doing, Ray?
What's happening? What's going on?
What's up, Ray? So it's been a while. If you see Ray, you kind of know the drill for your... faithful listeners out there. For new listeners, this is a roundtable news episode where game developers give their opinions on the happenings of the game dev world and just giving our opinions and hopefully helping others out there how to navigate through this industry safely and soundly. All right. So a lot has happened. Right. And I do want to cover one of our main topics for those who are reading the title about Redfall. All right. I don't want to jump on this hate train. Right. But it does highlight a recurring problem for game developers out there. What happened? Right. So let me kind of give a synopsis and I'm going to throw it over to you, Ray, and I want you to know your thoughts because I feel like you've been through every part of these type of production, right? All the way from pre-pro to post-release, being in the industry for so long. Redfall was a game by Arkane Studios, right? Released in March, late February. Got delayed a few times, right? Probably should have gotten delayed more. But, published by Xbox, it was so bad. Like, it almost felt like a Bethesda game where it just got murdered. And I didn't remember it being that, any game having that bad of a press. I mean, it was trending on Twitter, next to the Ukraine war. It was like, what is going on? And basically from critical reception to fan base that are Arkane faithfuls, got completely turned off from the game and the whole experience just felt cheated. And it was one of those rare $70 games that was not $60 anymore. And that all that kind of got thrown into the mix of hate and disgust. So kind of walk me through your day. I know you're not, I mean, honestly, we probably have a lot of friends that are Arkane. There's a lot of shared bloodlines with BioShock teams and Arkane designer heavy type of games, right? There's a lot of familiar people, I think, that we've crossed path with. So what are your thoughts, man? When you hear things like this, I mean, obviously, what are your feelings?
I don't know why this one got blown so out of proportion compared to all the other games that come out and have bad reviews or whatever. Like, I think this was a little blown out of proportion for sure. I don't know. I didn't even play the game, right? So I have no idea. And, I remember seeing the trailer of it. I was like, yeah, it looks all right. It looks cool, I guess. But I like every game that Arkane makes usually, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I just never really tried out Redfall at all, right? Yeah. And so I don't really understand, I've heard,
vampires.
PC, yeah, there's PC performance issues. And I'm like, yeah, that's happened to a ton of games before in the past, right? So I don't really know what why the reaction was so outsized for this one. Like, you know, like it doesn't seem more egregious than any other game that came out and people didn't like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't an EA game, right? So I don't know. I was very surprised, but as I kind of was digging into it, you know, just typical stuff. Yeah, the glitches, the bugs. It was unfinished. Literally, animation would just not be in play, and you just have this vampire floating around even after a shot. Yeah, it's stuff like that. But I think because the tolerance level from gamers are...
No.
You don't think so? There's
no.
From the reaction, though, I just feel like people
I think
they have the patience for it anymore.
No, I think there's a little bit of the console war nonsense in the mix of it too.
You think Sony's hyping it up?
Where the Xbox folks want a good game.
Oh yeah, right? It's been a drought.
I was watching something else and somebody made a point where they're like, if this came out next year, right, amongst a bunch of other games for Microsoft that came out before it, like say Starfield comes out before, or something else comes out before, and then this comes out, maybe people are not reacting so harshly.
I think
people are just thirsty for an Xbox hit, and then this came out, Xbox, you know, published, and it didn't meet whatever those expectations were.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of what the situation was.
Yeah.
At least that's a possible answer. You know what I mean? And then the whole, like you mentioned, $70. I mean, it's on Game Pass, man. So, like, don't complain about how expensive the game is. It's on Game Pass too, right? So if you wanted to try it out, you could easily try it out and then bought it if you liked it. You know what I mean? I don't even want to hear about no $70 game. You know, games are expensive, but they're getting bigger and bigger. The needs, the standards of the audience is getting higher and higher. You know what I mean? It costs real money. Yeah.
Well, judging by everyone's reaction, it sounds like it's a hard pass. Right, and I think it does have a lot to do with the Microsoft community have been bloodthirsty, right? And they just, this game kind of came out pretty fangless, right? There was just not a lot of people. Vampire games on its own,
terrible, bro.
It's just rolling, just giving me material right now. But like a vampire game on its own have always been a problem for games, right? It's just not the same as zombies. You know, there's not a lot of vampire games that really became hits for whatever reason. I mean, after the zombie phase, I know even Hollywood and other entertainment was trying to find the next big thing. And you had, what was that teenager with?
Twilight?
Twilight, right? They were trying to shift towards Twilight. They were trying to shift to werewolves.
What do you mean trying to? Twilight's huge. What are you talking about?
It's huge for a minute, right? But it never really transferred for games. Games never really had the hit vampire game, except for if it's like maybe mixed with Western or something, Western games.
Yeah.
But like there was a byproduct of it, aside from the fan aspect of like, this game sucks, it's buggy, we've been waiting forever for Microsoft to release a game and Sony's just having a party every night, right, with their hits. The developer standpoint is like, I was frustrated with this viewpoint of how the publisher was all in the bad. Even Phil Spencer came out, I was like, dude, I'm sorry, man, but like, yeah, we bought Bethesda, right, which owns Arcane, or ZeniMax, which owns Arcane. They're all the same, right?
It's ZeniMax, ZeniMax.
So confusing. But he was like, we don't 100% control like everybody, right? And we still kind of trust our developers. And
in with that same interview, I think he even said though, maybe we shouldn't trust our developers.
Yeah, which is terrible for the ones that are actually doing well, but like having too much freedom obviously turned out to be very bad Well, a very bad week for Microsoft. Yeah.
I mean, you get a freedom, right? But then you also have to
with boundaries,
look at things objectively and be like, yeah, no, we need to give you more time, or yeah, no, the quality needs to be this, or yeah, we need to scale back on scope.
Yeah.
Right. Like you can't just let them do whatever. Right. Yeah. Cause you're giving them money to make something.
Well, here's the developer standpoint, because this is where your years experience, you've been in these rooms, right? Before, just when the idea was hatched, before execution, you're just looking at the producer's strategy to kind of get this done. And you're like, this is bogus. It's stupid. Right. The gamers are not there with us when it comes to this. They just automatically think the big bad corporations are pushing these poor little game developers into deadlines that they never really agreed to, right? But the truth is, there's a lot of dead time while figuring these things out. And the creatives, you know, the ones that actually have a say in things, really shoot themselves in the foot. And very much that we want to blame the guy with the money who's giving this opportunity to them. Like, I always kind of go back to, yo, it's just not the right people making the calls. And because of these dead periods, they try to make the game the last year. And before, sometimes that worked. But nowadays, like you said before, budgets are higher. There are less risk available to take. And there's a lot of because the budget's so much higher, there's a lot of dependencies that has to work, right? There's a lot of pressure, right?
This isn't some fly-by-night company we're talking about, you know what I mean?
It's Arcane, yeah.
It's Arcane, right? Like, they make good games, period, right?
Well, they do.
And it could be, you know, was it a different team within Arcane, right? That was, you know, are they making...
Oh, yeah.
Was it a different team? Like, there's all sorts of different things that could have gone into it. But at the end of the day, right, it was something that probably should have been, it's been delayed, and then they probably just didn't want to delay it again, right? And we're like, oh yeah, this is good, you know? Like, you know, the industry, we're big on the whole day one patch.
And
subsequent patches, you know, while the game's out, you know, and to make it better over time. You know, we're all about that, right? So it's about making those choices.
It's less forgivable now. I do feel like with this reception, that liberty to be able to kind of keep patching things needs to be more careful now.
Well, let's see how much leeway they give Starfield. Let's just put it that way. Right.
And Starfield's going to be,
because if you
failures think, of launch, dude.
Yeah, if you think Starfield's going to come out and be perfect game and require no patches.
It's the most ambitious game ever. I mean, isn't it like Star Citizen, but actually coming out? That's the idea of it.
I don't even know if it's like Star Citizen was probably all sorts of nonsense, right? But you know, especially Bethesda, right? Like, their games come out pretty rough, like out day one. And so, like,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure because it's Bethesda and the fan base and all that, folks are going to overlook a lot of the issues, you know what I mean?
Well, game design has to be pretty solid, yeah.
As they always do. So
that's what I felt until this. I mean, Redfall is a failure. You know,
Bethesda gets a pass, man. Like, Skyrim came out garbage.
Yes.
You know, Fallout 76. Right. Like, I mean, they get a lot of pass, you know, and so I think Starfield is going to get the same. I'm calling it for now. That's just my prediction. Right. It ain't gonna be no Redfall situation, I don't think.
I don't know, man. I think something changed. Something went in the water as soon as Microsoft bought Bethesda. There's like a higher standard now, it feels. Because this is probably the first game that Microsoft that has shipped under Microsoft's brand, right? The Redfall.
Mm-hmm.
And the drought is continuing. Like, I don't know any. What's the? Is it really Starfield?
Starfield.
Which is this year? It's at the end of year.
Yeah.
But even September, Phil Spencer, September, dude. September. Yo, if you look at his little announcement, that dude has been, you know, looking at the demos, and he's like, "Yo, Starfield is not gonna save whatever this."
No, he was saying something different than that, right?
Okay,
and I actually agreed with what he was saying, because I was talking about this the other day.
Yeah,
he was saying that the folks have chosen their console, right?
Yeah. And, for the console war,
And Microsoft has lost.
Yeah.
Right. Like he said that. And he said that, but they are not in that war. They're trying to bring games to people on many different platforms with Game Pass. Game Pass is their thing, right? And, and they're pushing hard on Game Pass. And so he's like, if Starfield comes out and is the perfect game ever, right, there's gonna be no one on earth, right? Or he doesn't feel it's gonna be a vast majority of people that would be like, screw this PlayStation, let me go get an Xbox. Because Starfield's dope, like no one's going to do that, and I agree. Like I don't think that's good. I don't think it's like that's going to happen, especially if you have a PlayStation with Horizon Zero Dawn and Spider-Man and God of War and you're playing your games and you have your. He also mentioned something about like this is the worst generation because this was a generation when people moved to digital, right? Yeah. So everybody has their digital library in the ecosystem that does not go with them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so like there's no game that's going to come out to make you go, oh yeah, forget the last 5 years, 6 years of PlayStation 5. And let me, hasn't even been that long. How long has it been? 3 years, 4 years, right?
2020,
And then I'm going to just drop PlayStation because Starfield's good. Like that's just not, that's wishful thinking. That's not going to happen.
He looked pretty defeated in that thing, dude. It looks like he's about to get fired. Or like he's like, yo, this is my last year. I don't know why I'm here. Because it was like, yeah, like kind of funny. It's a good podcast, but like, was that the place to announce these things? It's like it was very casual.
But he was but he was just being like honest. And I don't
too
see
honest.
Anything. I don't think see anything wrong with that, right? Because I think we've seen the
corporate press conference
for a while that Microsoft was not competing at the console level. Like Game Pass obviously is them not
was the future is the future.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's not news, right? Like, but everybody's acting as if it's news, right?
Well, it made a lot of news.
That's what I'm saying.
2 weeks straight.
No, but it's like why are we acting all surprised? Like this seems very logical,
It just made a lot of sense that Activision Blizzard deal was so important to them. It felt like their last leaf of opportunity. They have to have that.
Right? Got approved in UK at least, right?
European Union. UK's outside of that, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what that deal is. But it sounds like eventually it'll turn towards to their favor. But yeah, the Redfall story, more than just the game, I felt it was like a turn in tolerance from gamers. Because I'm with you, man. Like, what was that Iron Man game from EA that had pretty bad press? That was like a Destiny clone. Anthem had a really bad, and that was made by Mass Effect people, right? Mm. From BioWare. Mm. Same kind of sentiment. There's a lot of high expectations. This is their follow-up from a pretty successful team, and it just flopped pretty hard, right? Mm. And to a lot of respect to that, I think the team is no more, to be honest. Like, they got disassembled pretty badly. And whoever was left, basically, now you're Mass Effect forever. You work on the next one. We gave you a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, you flushed it down the toilet. Yeah,
that happens, right? So I was hyped for Anthem when they first announced it. I was like, that'd be cool.
Yeah. I mean, the bells and whistles were there, but no substance. So I just want to be at a point where there's accountability from all fronts. Obviously, yes, the publishers, whoever financed the money, they have a say into it, but it always goes back to the developers. It's like, yo, you know what you're doing, every day, what you're putting out there in the world,
you've worked on bad games.
Yeah. And I blame all you.
And you know what that's like.
It's torturous. Yeah.
Yeah, like how hard it is to turn the ship around because the ship is going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you may try to do some stuff to make it better in some ways, right? But like, game's gonna come out and be trash. You know it.
It's unfortunate that the only way that we see who's right for the job is actually by trial of fire. There really is no way of knowing, is this guy know his shit, you know?
It's not just one person though, right? It's just,
no, it's a band of
team is about
misfits.
Like, how he works together, right? It's like it's about a bunch of different things, you know, and sometimes like and sometimes you're like, it's not very good, but like, maybe we add one more thing if we make it look just a little bit better, you know. And you know, it also on top of it, I don't even know if Redfall's a bad game or not.
It's bad.
You know what I mean?
It's terrible.
I have no idea.
Right? I watched some gameplays. I had to press stop. It was so bad the YouTube video froze and bugged out.
No, I have no idea. Right. I just know that you know, people complain about the bugs and the glitches and stuff like that. But that's like, again, that just, this just all sounds like just yet another video game that probably just needed a little bit more time, you know, and just didn't have it, you know, because this stuff costs money and they have to get it out and, oh, we'll patch it later. Because that's kind of the thing now, right? So.
Yeah, I think before it was fine because it was a lower budget. Not saying that it was cheaper to a great extent, but, you know, it was costly always. I do feel like there are less and lesser chances of doing that as much. Like, I feel like publishers are a little smarter of what games are in the process of it. Gamers are a little bit more pushy, and if anything, they're more forgiving. Oh yeah, just keep delaying it until it's ready. It's like, yo, every day costs millions, right? Yeah. So you don't understand the business.
Gamers want a good game though, right? So they're like, hey, you want to delay it? Fine, I want a good game.
Yeah,
disappointed, sure, but I want a good game.
Gamers are a lot more forgiving, but it is definitely the person paying the bills that are the most concerned, and they should be. It's like, yo, they're like, paying the bills. Yeah.
What time is it?
Yeah. Like, I'm half-half, right? I mean, like, at a certain point, it's like, yo. I mean, I guess there is really no solution. To the last hour, do you completely, like, drain the swamp?
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, or
well, still,
what like, do you do?
A lot of the really good games that you know of, like,
had delays.
Had delays and had like infinite money where they could just noodle around forever, and then they find the game.
Yeah, Rockstar. Yeah. You know, the Respawn guys have definitely a solid group. Blizzard at one point.
Yeah.
I keep saying this, but Riot's kind of becoming the new Blizzard right now. They're having a renaissance moment. It seems like everything they're making is become hits, but like it always ties to like a group that have worked together before, shipped, had those trials by fire, stayed together, and basically proved themselves over and over again. And I think that is becoming more and more rare, man. Like with everything that's going on with the industry, people moving around. Maybe remote help repair some of that, because now they can connect still to old colleagues without having to be in the same city, right? So I'm curious about the next 2-3 years. Well, I mean, like, think about it. The reason why most people move away is because of family or just hometown, like because of location. If it's a good team. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I was saying that you can't make video games remotely, right? But when you talk about teams that have chemistry and work together.
You got to be in office for sure.
Like, some sort of locality has to happen sometimes in that, you know what I mean? So
I don't know if remote is conducive to that. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's a good point. Like, I think a lot of studies are trying to show that remote is not working for like large creative teams, right? I think just for many things that we talked about, the mentoring from older to younger, the camaraderie of just sitting next to a bud and brainstorming really quickly. Mm-hmm. I think people are finally coming to grips like this is irreplaceable. There are problems, obviously, with remote.
I still think you just need to focus on those moments, right? Pick when you're going to have those moments of collaboration.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, like, programmers still need to be left alone.
Right? Yeah.
To bulk
right? time of the hours. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So having remote is good in some cases, right? But then it's just you have to work differently and work hard at like collaborating, brainstorming, coming together.
Yeah.
Use the online tools to do all that kind of stuff. Yes. But then also make sure that you do come together face to face to form those bonds, because those bonds actually exist once you form them in person. They do exist over remote. You know what I mean?
But
you
have to
form them. You have to form them first.
It's like I don't know. It's like the oxygen mask. You know, you take every time you get together, it gives sustaining life and partnership in the remote session.
Yeah.
I that's why I think a lot of offices are kind of having people live around the office just so that they can commune once in a while. But yeah, like you said, like, I can't imagine, and from what I'm hearing, like, those remote colleagues that you have, you just don't have the connection and you form those lifelong friends as much. It's literally when you do meet on Zoom, which is laborious, you just want to talk about work. You don't want to talk about catching up on life and stuff, right? Those small moments that just are such a big concrete part of working.
Well, you just have to work at it. That's it.
Yeah, I don't want to.
that's your loss.
Like, dude, it's just difficult, man. Like you said, The cool thing about remote is that this very solitude focus way of getting work done, right? Mm-hmm. And then what the adverse effect of that is, when you do go and meet, it feels like a bother. It feels like I'm pulling away from getting work done, right? Even though you're trying to accomplish things together as a group, brainstorming, I think everyone kind of feels that meetings are a drag when you're working remote, right? And it's like, yo, let's just try to get this finished as quickly as possible so I can get to the real work, right? And get things done. Yeah.
That sounds like your brainstorming session is garbage, but
yeah. I love brainstorming, right? But I'm you know, if most of your time is being seclusive, you're just naturally, I don't know, as an introvert, you know, I feel drawn to being more closed off.
I think that's more just introvert. Period, right? Versus extrovert, right? But like,
I'm an introvert with a podcast. I can't be that introverted, but I feel this way.
Yeah.
But speaking of that, I feel, man, we haven't done a roundtable for a while, and Zuckerberg, this is how he gets his updates to do, you know, to do what's next with his company. Since we talked, and I have to kind of at least speak to this, you know. Massive layoffs, a focus on efficiency year, right? That's what 2023 he marked it as. The metaverse sounds like it's dead. There's starting a reduction of that team. Like, I have friends there, you have friends there. They're starting to look elsewhere. And because of ChatGPT, there's a huge, for the whole Silicon Valley, focus on AI. An AI product. That's the next web, right? That everyone's kind of shifting gears and really going hard in the paint for. What are your thoughts?
The tech industry's out of ideas.
Yeah. They're just biting.
I think, okay, don't get me wrong. ChatGPT is a thing, you know. Midjourney is a thing. These things are impressive. I think they have some utility, especially if you look at like Midjourney and you know, texture generation, and then there's now things that are like trying to do 3D mesh.
It's a gold rush right now. Yeah.
3D mesh generation, just like type in, I want a couch. And then there's a 3D mesh as a couch, right? Like there's some cool stuff, right? Folks that I know that have been in the AI space for a long, long, long time and that like immerse themselves in it for years and years and years, they're all like, meh, right? They're generally all like very apathetic and just like, yeah, it's cool, but it's iterative improvement on stuff. We don't know if that's the right direction.
Yeah.
Like, we don't care, you know, like maybe there should be a different direction, right? And then John Carmack wrote an article saying that he thinks, yeah, he should be going in a different direction because everybody's going ChatGPT large language model direction. And he's like, that possibly could be a dead end. So let's go a different direction.
To give some context to that, because years ago he quit Meta, he was like trying to focus, like what's the main focus. He said AI way before everyone start really jumping onto that, and now what you're saying is that he's changing his mind because everybody's jumping on AI and it's
Although he's still doing AI, he's doing a different branch, right? He's trying to get to actual general intelligence, right? Because like as much as we think ChatGPT is like smart, right, it's just sounds smart,
yeah,
right? Like it's not really
thinking. It's regurgitating known information,
right? Yeah. Right. It's not really thinking, and it's also hallucinating and errors and mistakes, you know, etc., right? So it's not really fully there. And yeah, like, but what we have seen is pretty impressive and has utility.
Yeah.
And then therefore the investors are all hot and bothered, right? Because Microsoft is like, hey, here, have $10 billion. Right.
Yeah.
And so all the investors are hot and bothered. And so therefore to get the investors' attention in a time of hard to come by money.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, oh, I'm doing AI too, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, did you know we doing AI too, right? Yeah. Did you know we're doing generative stuff? Did you know? Like, right. And it's like, well, you were taking your time and you were like slowly, you know, you're thinking about the ethics of it and you're developing these things. You had a huge team of researchers publishing papers, right? But then now that the investors
commercialized,
it's like, okay, what features are we doing like with this general intelligence? Like, let's talk about it now, right? And there's a rush to talk about it, just to get the investors' attention, and that's what's annoying. And it has created a bubble. Like, we are in a generative AI bubble. It doesn't mean that when the bubble bursts, there won't be some actual valid technology at the end of it, but there will be companies that will be dead.
Oh yeah, dude. And so many AI tool ads coming out of nowhere.
it is crazy. And the thing is, a lot of this tech, you know, has been around for a while, right? Yeah. And then
rebranded
because there's no money in it at the time. It's like, oh, it gets deprioritized or you don't put as much people on it. But now that the investors are like, what is your AI strategy?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we have a team of 20, 30 people who do AI now. Right, you know what I mean? It's just a lot of followers,
right?
And there's some folks out ahead that were innovating, and then a lot of people are following, right? And is the metaverse dead? You know, no, I don't like your boy Tim Sweeney doesn't think so, right?
I think Tim Sweeney is the only one who's secretly building a metaverse.
and he's like, look, like, you know, like Fortnite, I could talk to people, we could commune, we're having live events in here, this is kind of a metaverse, right? But it's not the metaverse at the scale that people are talking about, because again, it was a bubble, it was a hype thing, right? Where it's like, it'll take 10, 15 years, 20 years to get to like the scale that people are talking about if you actually focus on it.
Yeah.
But everybody's like, oh, I'm not there yet. It's 2 months later. We're not there yet. And AI is the new hotness now.
Yeah.
oh, okay. NFT, because the metaverse was all really a lot of what was driving the metaverse is NFTs, right? And now the market, speculative cash, all that nonsense has died pretty much. Oh, NFTs aren't worth anything anymore, right? Oh, metaverse is dead now because I can't sell fictitious nonsense on the internet, right? So therefore it's dead. No, the thing that you attached to it was dumb, right? Yeah. You know, and so that's really what people have to like look through that, right? And of course, tech is just like growth beyond all things. We need the money.
Yeah.
What thing will get the investors interested, especially in a time like now where it's hard financial times, right?
Yeah.
AI.
Yeah. Right? Well, I completely agree with you. Each year has kind of like a buzzword for investors where if you're not saying AI this year, you're not getting any money. And the market moves in that way. It's always moved that way financially, right?
Right.
So there's a lot of people just saying, oh, AI is another bubble, which you said, but to an extent, right? There are actual transformative technology being built by people with the right mindset and goals. But obviously, there's a lot of people with fool's gold being marketed to people in the last 6 months. As soon as ChatGPT, everyone suddenly knows AI. It's like everyone suddenly has a solution, right?
And
it's so obvious.
There's been some, like the rate of things coming out is crazy.
It's an insane rate. I've never seen anything like it either. I've
never seen anything this fast because, but a lot of the things is like I put a UI on top of something that you could use if you're a programmer.
Yeah.
I put a UI on top of it, made it easier to use.
Yeah.
And so like it looks like it's like this big impressive thing, but it's like something you can slap together really, really quickly, right?
That's exactly what happened. Yeah.
Right. But the rate of things that are coming out is crazy. And I think there's like actual useful things. I think Midjourney is super useful, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think like the being able to describe something and then get an image based off of that is useful.
Cool. Yeah.
You know, and I do think artists out there that are sweating and worrying about their profession and how will they adapt and all that, they should be, right?
Yeah. Awesome. You agree.
I think some programmers out there are also kind of sweating, but are like happy for now because like the code that stuff generates is not 100% that great. But who knows, right? Maybe it will be good enough or a good starting point to accelerate people's productivity, right? So there's some usefulness there, right? With accelerating people's productivity. I don't know if it replaces people directly, you know, because like it lacks the soul and the heart sometimes that comes with creative things, right?
Yeah, that's a couple of cold lines away. Don't worry. Yeah, I mean, we had Adnan on for a couple of episodes ago talking about AI specifically. He's with you. I mean, everyone I talked to that isn't an artist pretty much said, yeah, dude, it's like 60% of artist jobs are going to be gone. Just get ready. Yeah. Poof, right?
Yeah.
Students definitely have a crisis, you know, as they're kind of going through learning how to draw. It's like you need to rethink, you know, how much time you want to learn how to draw into how versus how much time you want to put into an end product. You know,
here's the thing about that. Right. It's the same thing with programmers. You know, you could be like, hey, just learn how to use Unity or learn how to use Unreal.
Yeah.
Right? You don't need to know what a linked list is. You don't need to know what memory management is.
Yeah.
Just go and learn this thing, make a video game and you're good. And a lot of people have done that. And a lot of people are really bad programmers and they cobble together something and they make hit games.
You want to name names or?
No. But they make hit games and it's fine, right?
It's just fine.
But if you care about the craft, then you should also care about the foundations that build that craft. Right. And so if you really care about it, then you should learn those things so that you have a solid foundation, right? That all the other things I said on top, you know how it works, right? Fundamentally.
And just get rich first.
So I believe
build a successor product and then learn how to build it correctly. The second time is always better.
I believe in the foundations. I believe in foundations, and I think the same thing applies for art, right? Like
I believe in foundations too. Like
learn the foundations matter, and then you can learn how to be an expert prompt writer.
I'm there with you, man. Yeah, I'm there with you because prompts don't write themselves. So you got to think.
No, because trust me, I made a bunch of prompts and the images came out. Those images are trash. And then
bad prompter. Like, and that's all I got to say.
And then folks I know that are artists, trained artists, art directors with eyes, right? Yeah. They do their little thing and they're creating gorgeous images, right? Because they have the foundation still, right. Does not replace the skill.
Right. There's a hack. There's a hack around making great prompts, and it's called ChatGPT. And ChatGPT is way smarter than any art director that you know, right? Be descriptive. Describe it like this movie, all right? Put it in a prompt and then feed it to MJ.
I saw somebody actually do it step by step. Feeding, telling chat how to tell ChatGPT to generate the prompts for Midjourney.
That's what I do.
And the results, the results are great. Like phenomenal. I'm not even fronting, right? But even the art of figuring out the combination of things to generate the prompt, what to tell ChatGPT to generate.
Yeah.
Right. It's something that I would not
think of
be able to do very well. Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's that's why you wait a little for the people to publish that. And then you copy out the prompt.
And then I just copied the prompt.
That's exactly what I want. The thing is, as an artist, and I'm speaking from an artist perspective of like, your job is useless. If you don't get on the program, that's why I do podcasts. I talk about it. But I'm telling people at the end of the day, you're making a piece of entertainment, right? It's about the end product, right? How you get there, how messy you get there. Yes, it'll be great to kind of go there and give you an extra edge.
There's skill in this world. Do not discount skill.
No, there's definitely skill, but there's skill into selling a product that is fun and people get it. Like you said, there's a bunch of Unity successful hit games that are poor programmers and they got there anyways. I respect that more than someone who sits in a corner and just becomes the best program in the world, but never really contributes anything into the world, right? That's a starving artist.
Being the best programmer in the world, you could be contributing all sorts of things.
No, you're in a corner. No one knows you. At the end of the day, you have to put something out in the world to get judged, right?
Yeah.
If you're doing something for entertainment, if you're just like a wizard who wants to like die under an anonymous name or whatever, fine, do your thing. But a starving artist is not that sexy, man. It's like you everyone has a story to tell, right? At least until ChatGPT has a storytelling, which it does, right? To a great extent. I think, what is your contribution, right? And then work backwards from that. What do I need to know to get there the fastest way possible? Because the fans want it that way, right? The fastest way, a quality product, the fastest way possible. And investors want it that way. Those are the two people that you're serving at the end of the day. So it only hurts you to kind of sit there. Yeah. Hey man, you would say the same thing. If a student is like learning on the draw right now and it takes them 5 years to learn just as good as basically a prompt, it's like, dude, don't do that. What is it that you want to do? You want to make a comic book? Do you want to, where do you want to be? You can't sharpened pencil.
No, I'll say this. I said it already. I think folks that understand the fundamentals in a lot of areas.
Oh yeah.
It's dying, right? Yeah. And there will come a point in time where we will still need to fall back on those things, right? And if that art is dying, then where are you, right? Well, like I said, learning how to use Unity Unreal. Yeah, Unity Unreal. Yeah. There's people that work there that understand this foundational things, right? Yeah. When they're all dead and gone, who's
left to teach? Yeah,
who's going to continue Unreal Unity running? right? You know what I mean?
Well, hopefully Japati is going to be around.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what is it?
GitHub, librarian.
GitHub Copilot will just write the code on it.
Yeah. Right? It's like, tell me the old ways of making games. You know, read me a bedtime story. It's like, that's satisfying, right? All right, yeah. Now I got to actually make something.
Yeah. I think I said it before, like, this stuff is like a dying art, you know?
It is.
But like, I understand where you're coming from. You're like, yo, make products.
I just look at the future, man, which is China.
Get that bread. Get that
what
bread.
Is China so, doing? What yeah, is China
I
doing?
You. I feel Dude, you.
But China.
Foundations matter.
They do matter. But look at China, man. Like they don't care about shit. Right. And so like, basically they went and fire all their artists in their little sweatshop store. And then are using master prompters. You know, they're using one person replacing 10. I mean, the industry that we use to outsource is already doing that, right?
Yeah.
So, like, that's a really big part of the industry right there. Our outsourcing companies
but sometimes
are stuff, finding like, shortcuts.
At least right now, if people are doing this, right? Like, it's so obvious.
Yeah.
You know? And so, like, if you just, like, generate... Like, here's the thing. If you just generate it and throw it over the fence and say, I'm done my job.
Yeah.
You haven't done your job.
Exactly.
Right. Like using it as a starting point and painting over and embellishing and making it get that soul that it's from the hand of an artist. That makes way more sense to me. But if you're just taking some bogus thing and like, yeah, it looks kind of right. And then throw it over the fence and thinking people won't notice it's AI generated or it's good enough. Right. Like, we'll just end up with a lot of soulless stuff, and that's fine. Some people just want to do that, just create stuff like that, and there will always be space for somebody who's like, yeah, I want to put my own stamp on it and my style on it.
Yeah,
there always will be space for that, right?
Yeah.
maybe it's not what will make all of the money or what will make all the investors happy or whatever, but there will always be space for that, I think.
Yeah, you and your buddies will die by the sword of the ancient traditional.
I'm not saying it's a whole lot of space, but there'd be some space for that.
Yeah. Here's the thing, man. If the man with the money is cool with it, and the fans of the product is basically don't even know the difference, and it's an artist, what do you call it, ethics problem. And how does ethics ever play, you know, into game development, right? I mean, we're kind of hearing it sometimes, like, oh, we got these game developers finish their game forever, right? But it never really moved how we make games. I mean, crunch culture was a thing a bit, but like right now, I feel like most companies are still crunching, especially with remote, right? Mm-hmm. And delayed games from 2020. And AI seems like a solution to that. Like, to me, like you said, it's a productive, it's a boost. It's a booster.
I don't think it's going to replace crunch and all those things. You're just going to get more. You just have more content. The desire for content is never insatiable.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Right. It'll just keep going forever and ever. Always, I want more rocks, more detail. I want it to look real, more. It's always more, right? So, but sometimes you just have to say, no, I don't want to do more. I just want to do something that looks nice.
I think that's an indie. There's definitely like, the indie teams are definitely boxed in. Mm. All right. They kind of get where they need to be and just put it out there. Yeah, but the big companies were always, like you said, it's the AAA companies that are always not learning from their past mistakes, right? Yeah. Like you said, 8 years ago, we were talking about procedural generation. We're talking about all these amazing tools, and the outlook of it was, that these game cycles will be shorter, but here we are again. It's kind of more expected that day one patching is a thing. Bugs and glitches is kind of like the norm, right? And it's foolish, like how we started this podcast episode, that Redfall was going to be perfect day one, which was normal back then. It was expected that the PS2 days, the PS3 day, anything less than perfect is basically a scam, right? So in what you're saying, I agree that we've gotten more in this direction where the game is never ready day one. And we have more tools, bigger budgets, right? More people than ever before. Yeah. And you're right in that respect. Like every time I'm talking about AI or these new tools helping game developers, I'm more thinking about the smaller teams, because I mean, the innovation comes from the smaller teams, which I'm excited about, right? All the trends and stuff usually come from the smaller teams, and the big guys just make that, popularize it and make 100 times more money from it, right? I don't care about the big guys as much. Obviously there's a balance. It's like a Jedi Dark Sith thing, right? There's a balance of power that always needs to be there. At least Sony's doing well. And you have Hideo Kojima once in a while, you know, shipping a game 3 years, right?
But I wouldn't be surprised if, like, he's doing some AI nonsense.
Oh, at
Kojima Productions too. Like I wouldn't be surprised in this.
At least in the story time, in the narrative. Yeah. But, man, like, all these tech things that are happening, I agree with you. Sneakily, the only one that's really doing metaverse correctly is Unreal or Epic with Fortnite. You know, they came out with Fortnite creators or Fortnite for Unreal.
Yeah.
And that's basically building the building blocks of a metaverse correctly and making tons of dough while doing it. Unlike Facebook, right, where they're just pouring $10 billion, you know, Fortnite's making $10 billion a year, or not $10 billion, a few billion dollars a year, and then
I mean, at one point
it was nine, right? And then Meta is spending that much to make Horizon, right? And it's not going well. I do want to kind of, maybe you can't comment this. Supposedly AR for Apple is coming out at the end of the year, right? And they're going to do what they're supposed to do. I'll be surprised even slightly. I know they come out with tech and everyone always jumps on it. It's going to be a hard sell unless they somehow make it sexy, which is their thing.
Apple always finds how to make something sexy, right? You know, I would never count them out in anything, you know, right? Sometimes they flopped things, right? Yeah. But I would never count.
They have more success. They're basically the opposite of Google. They have more wins than losses.
Yeah.
So what do you think that's going to reinvigorate this or actually introduce AR VR to a bunch of people or no?
No idea.
Because an accessory, hard to sell, right?
No, I still think to grow AR VR really huge, you need something that
compelling
wear and is compelling to wear and it looks good and is lightweight, they don't look like a nerd, right? So I think there's a lot of,
it's the language thing, right? Isn't it?
Yeah,
the babble from Hitchhiker's Guide. I mean, that's got to be the thing that sells it to people, because if AR Apple comes up with that and I can instantly talk to someone in a different language,
wouldn't
that be the thing?
Google kind of has that with their earbuds, right? So
it doesn't work. It doesn't
work. But definitely. Like something like that would be...
Like a subtitle.
Game-changing, yeah.
The problem with the Google one is because it's audio, and so you got to wait for a delay. And even then, when it does work, it's like it's not working perfectly. But with AR glasses, just seeing the transcription or the subtitles, just like you're watching a movie, it doesn't ruin the flow of the conversation.
I still think like when it comes to VR,
XR, all those things. I still think AR is where it's at. Like a lot of the VR devices are doing, like, you know, pass through and things like that, right? So because they realize that, yeah, no, you can't close somebody off from the real world. You have to integrate into the real world. That's what makes it more compelling. So I still stick with, like, AR is the thing, and it's just a matter of, like, okay, now how do we deliver it to the masses, right?
I think that's it, man.
Right now it's niche, right?
So. Super niche. Like that, you said it many times before, it's just lacking that killer app. I think it's the language thing. Like, Google has that IR lens that you can go around and it just, like, automatically. Mm-hmm.
Friend of mine created that, actually.
Yeah, it translates the signage of stuff. Really cool, right? Yeah. But, you know, it's not mainstream because Google sucks at marketing their own stuff. But I can see Apple doing stuff like that, you know, have practical use of subtitle language, talking to people, and then, like, the sign stuff, reintroduce it in a very clear, concise, practical way in terms of marketing, and it's going to sell. And then once that gateway is open, people have a bunch of these devices, they're naturally going to explore, just like how the iPhone did it, right, with games. They're going to look for things to do with it, and it's going to open up this whole market, which is great. But it sucks for Facebook because they lack the vision, it felt like, in a lot of ways.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's why Apple's Apple. But also, some people think Apple has lost its vision, right? So,
its vision. So
we'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah. I have
no idea. Supposedly Tim Cook, this is his baby. This is his iPhone. So.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the industry is interesting. There's a lot of buzzwords going around. The AI thing, I haven't talked to you at length. You know, I kind of feel I understand your opinion being a programmer and all. And you're kind of old school, so you like the traditional way and you appreciate all the developers out there and stuff like that. I'm there too, but at the same time, it's just like I've just seen, you know, the white flag waving. Like, you know, obviously I'm networked with all these friends that are complaining or are concept artists, like, hey, man, we don't want to do this. You know, let's go on a strike. But it's like, dude, this is not how you do it.
I think it's weird. Like, I think the people that don't want anything to do with it are weird.
Yeah.
Right. And then also I think the people that are like, this is life changing. This is, like, I think I heard, this is as big as the internet. Right. I'm like,
is that too far? No.
Yeah. I think that is hyperbole. Right.
Oh.
I think you have to be somewhere in between of with some cautious optimism. Some, like, clearly,
this is helpful.
I see how it can increase productivity. I see how it can make menial tasks better.
Yeah.
Right. Like, as big as the internet, though, I think you're tripping. So, but maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so.
No, I'm there with you. Definitely this year is kind of like the NFT thing. It's everything. It will die down. There's a lot of tools that are going to be bust real soon. basically nothing, no substance. And eventually, I do think there's a lasting impact to the creative industry. Like you said, I never seen anything catch fire so quickly. Like with NFT, there was a lot of pause, right? From people trying to understand it. It was confusing. I think it was designed that way, right? It's like, do you know what this is? It's like, it was hard for me to explain, right? But with AI, it's like,
dumb.
It was dumb, right?
AI is way easier to explain.
Way easier to explain. It's very practical. I can go on to Bing AI and use it.
Yeah.
And it'll be, I can see the usefulness. It's very quick.
Yeah.
Creatively, I think it's already having a lasting impact. I mean, you have college kids already questioning if I should continue on their own, right? It's like, it's not like they had a person like me telling them it's doomsday, right? They're arriving at these conclusions themselves.
Yeah.
And you can see the results. And basically, what do I do? As companies are growing, they're actually probably have to change the rules and just, you know, we can't license. We will license. We will use or not use. Blizzard is already publicly announcing that they're going to use AI to train on their own art to kind of help with the production, right?
I mean, Stardock just released Galactic Civilizations 4 Supernova.
Yeah,
and it has a feature in there called Alien GPT, which it's create your custom alien.
Nice.
You do a description, and then it will show you images, right? And it was all trained on their own, their past alien designs.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it's like in that case, it's like it's their own art.
Yeah,
and they're training it, and they're giving some value to users to generate interesting images for their.
Well, here's the thing: people are still mad at that. How do you feel about that? Because Blizzard is doing that.
I think it'd be silly to be mad at that.
Well, but with the Blizzard thing, people completely went like, "Oh, this is the end of Blizzard. Oh, good written, you know, you were good." But it's like, dude, they're using their own art. Like, I thought it was a licensing ethics problem.
Well, it gets around that problem, but sure. it still has the problem of like,
what about the people that you hire?
Y'all need to get out now. Thank you. Right? There's the prospect of people losing their jobs still. But then that you can never stop that, right? Automation has reduced the number of people's jobs
forever.
Yeah. And it's gonna keep happening. And so it's just a matter of like, how do you adapt to the new situation, right? But people are right to be upset about that. Like, you know, you could be upset about it, but then now you have to be like, okay, what do I do now then?
Right. Well, it's relative to the writer's strike. I know it's more a Hollywood thing that's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
But what a perfect opportunity to try check.
No, but the writer stuff is even more messed up, right? Because like,
they see
it a mile away that the studios are going to be like, you know, I'm going to utilizing GPT this entire script, and it's going to be gibberish, and I'm going to give it to a writer to
edit it down. Yeah.
And that's just a miserable existence, right? Like that's not what's up, you know. And so they're going to fight for that, you know, be like, no, like we still need to write this stuff. Like, let me decide to use ChatGPT. don't you use ChatGPT.
It's so dumb. Give it to me, right? It's so dumb. Right. Like, the only industry that is able to kind of fight this is the music industry because they've been primed.
I don't even know. Have you heard all the
AI? But they took it down immediately.
No, it's still up. It is still up.
As soon as
he's not making any money from it, he's not trying to sell it or anything, right? I'm gonna check right now.
They've been striking it down. The likeness of it, like it's like they're equating it to like identity theft. You know, the music industry is better equipped to tackle these things since Napster. They have I feel like instruments and tools in place to kind of like jump at things faster than any other industry. Especially ours. So I feel like music wise, because you know, there are obviously AI generative. I know of some that got shut down immediately when they were trying to sample all these licensed music and to create basically, you know, good pop music, right? Shut down immediately. Like you don't hear anything about music. Even though that's the easiest thing to do right now because they're all kind of it's seven notes, right? Yeah.
Well, some of this AI Drake stuff is still up, but no, actually, I kind of respect the AI music stuff because it's at least I believe
how entertaining
it is still. Yeah. Well, somebody's writing it, right? Somebody's actually writing the raps and going, okay, let me now feed this through the algorithms. To make
voice
it sound
synthesizer.
Like, make it sound like Drake and time it correctly, you know? So like some of the actual content is still pretty fire. But it also shows like
maybe Drake's music is pretty formulaic and
all popular music are formulaic and soulless. That's why it's like a great AI sample of what we can do.
Replace all pop music with just
AI. Yeah, but like they are better equipped to kind of fight against it because they know how to do it. Right, they'll strike it down. I don't think it will go as haywire as all these other industry. Right, there's no fighting chance that concept artists will band together and ban AI. None. With music though, they'll get it done, right, is what I'm saying. I think it will go along the route of deep fakes, you know, for movies. They just hired the guy. ILM just fired the guy. It's like, oh, you do this really well. We hire you, right? So I think Drake is going to hire that guy. Yo, I don't want to come up with things. They're going to utilize it as a tool. It's like, yo, instead of me trying to come up with like a room full of writers, it's like, can I just hire the nerd, generate something that I sound good in, and I'll just rap over that, you know? They'll use it as a tool, and I'll make millions. You know, that's definitely why they're stopping, because they're business-wise, they're trying to make it legal, you know? And like, Drake is not mad at it. He's like, yo, I can use this. He's smart enough. Oh, yeah, all of them are thinking that. It's like, how do I hire that? Because that's the future. I got to stop this now. It's the same thing with Elon Musk. It's like, let's pause for 6 months. And then he went off to make his own AI company. It's like all of them are thinking like that.
Yeah.
That's the smart way to do it. Right? They know it's coming. There's going to be endless amount of AI synthesizer rapping. But, you know, they can stop the bleeding and license it, own it, right? Because I think there is something that you can license your own voice or your likeness. I mean, there's literally companies that go up to celebrities like, let me license your likeness for AI, and they license it. And so now when you're doing YouTube stuff, you're kind of violating their licensing rights to AI likeness. So I know that's happening. Okay. So, yeah. We don't have any of that, dude. Norman Rockwell estate is not coming after Midjourney. All right. There's no artists suck, man. We suck. We're always in solitude. There's no union or anything of any threat. That's why we always.
That seems to be slowly changing in the video game. It's like slowly every day, or maybe every month, I hear about some new union.
It's too slow. It's too slow. Skynet will be here by then. By the time that we have some power, we'll be in the Matrix. And then we'll live in our fantasy world of, oh, we actually have power to do any of this stuff. But anyways, that sums up an hour, man.
All right, man.
There was a lot of topics we went over, obviously. I just want to catch up and get your thoughts on it. I'm sure there's a lot more, you know, Microsoft or Bethesda or EA is going to release a game sometime, so we'll be able to kind of
As much as I hate on Bethesda, I'm probably buying Starfield. Yeah, so we'll see.
I haven't really seen any promotions for that. Is it starting to look like?
No, okay. They haven't shown. They showed something, and I was like, I don't know. But
does it look better than Star Citizen?
But also, some people. Well, yeah, it actually exists. But no, but people saw what they did show, and some like hardcore Bethesda folks were like, going crazy, right? So yeah, we'll see, man.
So is that the biggest game this year, Starfield?
I think
it's so. It's like 10 years in the making, right?
In terms of expectation and hype, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Why? I hope
for me it's Street Fighter, but you know, yeah. It is what it is.
Well, I hope it goes well.
Yeah.
You don't want it. Anything that ends up in the round table never is a good thing, I realize. We never really celebrate, you know, the positive. It's always me. Well, you always defend, you know, you're more optimistic than I am. Man. Yeah. But
I was kind of hating on AI this time. But anyway, yeah.
No, I think you have like probably the safest, most realistic stance on it. We've obviously, I mean, I tried to bring people on. It's the biggest topic to talk about. And it was pretty extreme. One extreme is like, it's I'm all for it. And the other extreme is like, I'm all against it. But I think you're the only one that I've talked to that's actually realistically in the middle, which is where I am. You know, I'm using it. It feels like an assistant. It helps me, you know, get through the day. In very practical ways. And I think everyone should do it. I mean, it's free on Bing if you don't want to use ChatGPT.
Especially when you're scrubby like yourself and you need that help. Like, it really helps a lot. Like,
it helps polish me.
Yeah, feel you.
To be presentable on the internet. Yeah. Hey, man. I'm all about getting help, dude. Yeah.
All right, man.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us for a roundtable. See you guys sometime in the future. Peace.